Chairman, you have a quorum.
Thank you, Barbara. Well, welcome, everybody. You guys did a great job of putting us in a room safely and combining the rest of the board that for today and tomorrow, and I appreciate that effort. It can't have been easy. So let's go ahead and I'll ask for a motion to approve the minutes of the December 15th meeting, please.
So moved.
Second. Motion, a second?
Second.
Hearing no objection, that motion passes. Joe Martin, you're recognized. Could you give us your report, please?
Good morning, Governors. For the record, I'm Joe Martins, the Chief of Internal Audit.
It's like the wizard.
I'd like to refer you to page one of the executive summary, where I provided an overview of the audit progress and noted that 32% or 7 of the projects scheduled for the period have been completed. Since the previous meeting, we finalized 2 engagements. With the contingent workforce audit, we confirmed that the contingent worker policy and procedures were appropriately designed and consistently managed. We noted an opportunity to improve the contingent worker annual review process to ensure that assignment extensions are properly approved. For the IT security risk incident response exercise, we provided advice and feedback regarding the exercise objectives, management observations from the exercise, and the completeness of planned documents. We currently have 8 engagements in progress, and I highlight an audit of commercial unwinding compliance to assess the adequacy and effectiveness of controls in place to meet statutory unwinding requirements. The appraisal process audit, we will assess process adequacy and effectiveness. With the cloud migration program review, Internal Audit will provide insights related to the risks and controls associated with the migration of applications and infrastructure to cloud services and evaluate project governance. System and application logging is required to provide an audit trail of business and system transactions to monitor access and correlate events that may require additional research and follow-up. With the logging and monitoring audit, we will assess whether appropriate logging practices have been implemented and event monitoring is occurring across many platforms. Next slide, please. An additional 7 audit engagements are planned to commence in Q2. These include 3 project advisories, namely the procurement of claims litigation management system, the implementation of claims consultants litigation management recommendations, and an analysis of current unwinding staffing models. The other 4 engagements are scheduled audits and will focus on the evaluation of progress, process and control strength. These are audits of Citizens Insurance Services, application infrastructure standards, the compliance program, and IT service management. Internal Audit recently appointed Juan Carlos Rivera as an Internal Audit Manager. Juan Carlos is a qualified attorney. He has extensive claims litigation management experience and will initially focus exclusively on claims litigation processes. Next slide, please. For the control deficiencies, Internal Audit is tracking 5 observations, of which 2 are of high impact. Both high-rated open items relate to the recent OFAC audit, and significant progress has been made by the affected business units through the completion of a series of risk assessments and understanding the scope of the initiatives required to develop a business-appropriate OFAC program. Next slide, please. The internal controls team continues to work closely with the business units, ensuring that the internal control framework remains current and that annual control self-assessments are completed properly. During 2020, 102 primary controls were assessed by management throughout the organization. The results from these control self-assessments indicate that 93 of the primary controls are effectively designed and operating as intended, while opportunities were noted to improve control design for 9 of the primary controls. Next slide, please. The enterprise risk team partners with business areas to deliver forward-looking and insightful risk perspectives. In February, enterprise risk facilitated the 2021 strategic risk assessment with the executive leadership team. Results from this assessment are being confirmed with each risk owner and action plans are being recorded. A complete list of risks will be provided to the committee at the July meeting. Next slide, please. The next two slides focus on two action items. Before we continue, I'd like to ask if there are any questions.
Members, do you have any questions of Joe on his presentation? No questions? Oh, go ahead with your recommendations. Go ahead, Joe.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I wish to refer to tab 2B of your pack titled Action Item, Audit Committee Charter. The charter defines that the purpose of the committee is to assist the board in fulfilling its oversight responsibilities for the integrity of citizens' financial statements, citizens' compliance with legal and regulatory requirements, the independent auditor's qualifications and independence, and the performance of the Office of Internal Audit and independent auditors. In discharging its responsibilities, the committee will have unrestricted access to members of management, employees, and information it considers necessary. The Office of Internal Audit completed a review of the charter against industry best practices and the citizen statute and found the charter to be appropriate and have no suggested changes. Madam Chairman, if there are no questions, I'll read the recommendation.
There are no changes to the audit. Do any of the members have questions of Joe before he reads the recommendation? Go ahead, Joe.
Staff recommends that the Citizens Audit Committee approve the Citizens Audit Committee charter for presentation to the Board of Governors at the next meeting on March 3rd, 2021.
Chairman Brown, before you take that vote, we are joined now by Governor Lopez Cantera.
Great. Let me ask Governor Lopez Cantera, do you have any questions about the charter that we're about to vote on? There are no changes to it. The recommendation is no change.
No. Thank you.
Okay, great.
We'd like to vote.
Are you ready? Okay. So, thank you. Is there a second? Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. With no objection, then this motion passes. Thank you.
Next slide, please. I wish to refer you to tab 2C of the back titled Action Item, Office of the Internal Audit Charter. The charter, in accordance with Florida statute, establishes the internal audit activities position within the organization, including the nature of the chief internal audit's functional reporting relationship with the board, authorizes access to records, personnel, and the physical properties relevant to the performance of the engagements, and defines the scope of internal audit's activities. Annually, the chief internal audit completes a review of the charter against industry best practices, citizens' statute, and the audit committee charter. Following this assessment, the chief internal audit found the charter to be appropriate and have no suggested changes. Madam Chairman, if there are no questions, I will read the recommendation.
Go ahead and read it, please.
Staff recommends that the Citizens Audit Committee approve the Office of Internal Audit Charter as presented.
Madam Chair?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. So there's no change in this either?
That's correct, sir.
Move to approve.
There's a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
And who was that? Second. Couldn't hear who that was.
Mark Dunbar.
Seconded the motion. Oh, good. Thank you. Without objection, we'll pass that motion. Thank you.
Thank you. This concludes my report.
Okay. Did I miss it and you talked about the contingent workforce audit report?
I did mention that.
Okay. I'm sorry. All right. Just want to make sure we covered that because I didn't hear. So thank you very much. Nice
Thank
to
you.
See you again. Jennifer Montero, you're on. Nice to see you too.
Thank you. Good afternoon. For the record, I'm Jennifer Montero, Citizens Chief Financial Officer. For your reference, the materials I'll be discussing are located behind tab 3 in your books. The document titled 4Q 2020 Results of Operations and Financial Position provides an overview of Citizens' unaudited financial position, including cash flows, invested assets, and surplus, as well as operational results for the period ending December 31st, 2020. While the document titled 4Q 2020 Results of Operations and Financial Position Commentary provides commentary, discussion, and analysis of those operating results and financial position, I'll be providing a summary of information contained within the commentary document. At December 31st, 2020, Citizens held consolidated cash and invested assets of $8.7 billion, a decline of $133 million from the prior year. The majority of the reduction in cash and invested assets was due to the January 2020 bond redemption and scheduled June 2020 bond principal repayment. Consolidated surplus at December 31, 2020 was $6.4 billion, or $124 million more than the prior year, and was largely driven by consolidated 2020 net income of approximately the same amount. Consolidated direct written premium for year-end 2020 was $1.2 billion, or 34% greater than year-end 2019. This is the result of an increase in new policies written in Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties, along with increases in renewal rates, largely due to the temporary payment exceptions and deferral of certain underwriting procedures in response to the COVID-19 crisis. As of December 31, 2020, consolidated ultimate direct losses in LAE related to Hurricane Irma were $2.27 billion, reflecting $110 million or 5% increase compared to 2019. Of the $110 million of adverse development, $73 million was in the personal lines account, with the majority of development related to LAE costs. The coastal account experienced a total of $35 million of adverse development, with the majority of development on the coastal residential claims. And the CLA experienced $2 million of development. The primary driver of the development for the personal lines and coastal residential claims, was the increase in the ultimate litigation rate. It increased from 17.7% to 21.8% in the personal lines account and 10.2% to 12% in the coastal account.
Excuse me, Madam Chair.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Can you repeat those
percentages
again?
For the personal lines account, it was the increase in ultimate litigation from 17.7% to 21.8%, and in the coastal account, it was 10.2% to 12%.
Thank you.
Sure. Of the $2.2 billion of Hurricane Irma losses in LAE across all three accounts, $935.8 million is recoverable under Citizens reinsurance contracts with both the FHCF and private reinsurance. Consolidated ultimate direct losses in LAE related to Hurricane Michael were $150 million. As of December 2020, reflecting no change from 2029. There are no reinsurance recoverables related to Hurricane Michael, as the attachment levels of the reinsurance arrangements were not met. Total losses in LAE associated with Hurricane Sally and other minor storms in 2020 were $51.6 million at December 31st, with Hurricane Sally comprising approximately 97% of total losses in LAE. There were no reinsurance recoverables related to these 2020 storms, as attachment levels of the reinsurance arrangements also were not met.
Excuse me, Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
Are those numbers on, what page are those numbers on that you're reading from? Because they're not on the screen.
They're in the commentary. If you turn to
page three.
Of the commentary, behind tab two, it's the second document. It's the Word document versus the Excel.
Hey, Jennifer, this is Mark. Just for what it's worth, did the other members of the committee get the written narrative that you put together for me?
No.
Okay, it just for the, and Chair, this is, well, I guess both chairs, it may be worth it. Sometime back, I asked Jennifer to give me a copy of the written narrative that she reads from for these meetings, and it's very helpful for me because it's a lot of material and it's presented very quickly. You all may want to be added to that distribution list because it allows you to read it the night before and then be able to go through the packet with a little more color, just for whatever that's worth.
I'm happy to do that.
Thanks, Mark. Governor Dunbar, I think I've got one in my folder. So I'm reading. She's on page three. So, yes. Is everybody on page three of the written? Because I think that's where we are. Okay. Super. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Current accident year losses in LAE unrelated to hurricanes and sinkhole did not experience meaningful variances from the prior quarter, as development on prior accident year losses in LAE was as expected. Although litigated non-weather water claims continue to be a dominant driver of losses in LAE activity within the personal lines account. The litigation rate for accident years 2018, 19, and 20 continued to show improvement in comparison to accident years 2014 through 2017. Within the commercial lines account, losses in LAE related to sinkhole claims were relatively unchanged. However, volatility in older non-sinkhole claims have the potential to contribute to material quarterly variances and the reported loss in LAE ratios in future periods. Administrative expenses incurred in 2020 of $124.5 million were 0.5 million more than expenses incurred in 2019 and 9.4 million less than budget. Variances in contingent staffing from budget were primarily due to lower than anticipated needs for independent adjusters within the litigated and disputed claims unit. For the year ended December 31st, 2020, Citizens expense ratio was 20.3%, reflecting a 4% decrease from 2019 and a 5.1% decrease compared to budget. Total investment income in 2020 was $266.6 million, or $16.8 million greater than 2019, while total average invested assets declined $250.5 million, or 3%. The decrease in earned income of $27.4 million was principally driven by significant reductions in interest rates during 2020, as well as reductions in tax-exempt holdings resulting from the scheduled maturities of certain outstanding bond obligations. However, the decreases in earned income was more than offset by the increase in net realized gains as portfolio managers sold securities that were held in positive mark-to-market positions through the active management of invested assets to align portfolios to take advantage of market conditions. In January 2020, $150 million of the 2015 A-1 series bonds were redeemed at par prior to their scheduled maturity date, resulting in a $1.5 million gain that was included in net realized gains. With the close of 2020, Citizens continues to maintain a strong financial position despite a moderately active 2020 hurricane season and operational impacts associated with COVID-19 and the effects that it's had on our policyholders. If there are no questions, that concludes my report.
Members, any questions of Jennifer?
Madam Chair.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Jennifer, so what was our operational income?
Our underwriting income?
Yes.
Yes.
Would have been a loss, right?
It was. December, not under the underwriting. Actually, it was it was 3.1 million loss.
So our operations lost $3.1 million in the fiscal year.
That is correct.
Okay. And then our investment income was how much?
The investment income was
two categories, right?
Right. $266.6 million.
And the reason we had an operational loss that was this small is because the increased premium collected on the 100,000
policies? Oh, my apologies.
Policies?
My apologies. I was actually quoting that from just one account. The actual underwriting loss was $98 million.
So, and that loss was actually offset because how much additional premiums have we collected since we had the ramp up in additional policies?
That's correct. With that $98 million loss, and then you add in the investment income, you come out to a net income of $128.9 million.
All right, I'm a little lost there, but I'm a little slow.
It's the difference between the $266 million
minus 98
and the
should give you about $170 million in income. Not 128.
Well, the 128 takes into effect the interest expense, the realized gains, and the net investment income, and then other income and expenses, $1 million. So it's a little off. But
okay, so the 266 in investment income is more than offset by the $98 million in
correct
loss. There's other expenses.
There's other interest expenses
that further
in there.
Reduce that delta of $170 million.
That's correct.
Okay. So operationally, we lost $100 million. $98
million. $98.3 million.
Okay. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure I was. Because when you first said $3 million, I'm going, that's not what I had in my head. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Good questions. Any other questions of Jennifer? Okay.
That concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So I think we have someone from Dixon Hughes on the phone. Would it be Brian or would it be Mike?
That's correct. Brian Smith is here.
Brian Smith is on the phone. Hi, Brian. How are you?
Doing well. Good to see you. Thanks for having us today.
Yeah. Are you ready to give your external audit report?
We are. It'll be brief. We are in the middle of our interim procedures, and we will complete our audit for the Citizens Financial Statement audit on May 15th. So our report today is just a verbal status update to communicate we have completed our planning and scoping and interim procedures. We have nothing to report today, no findings today, and we are on target to complete by May 15th. We will, as a reminder, engage Merlinos and Associates as an external actuarial firm to evaluate the Citizens reserves. And then as far as specialists, we'll also include valuation specialists for our testing of investment valuations. Other than that, we are on target to complete. We will begin our year-end procedures the first week of April, and we'll be in the field for about 4 weeks of auditing procedures. And we'll issue our opinion in our report to the audit committee on May 15th. And then our assumption is we will communicate that verbally at the next audit committee meeting, which I believe is scheduled for July 13th.
Having a little trouble hearing you, so you'll be ready to present in July, is that what you said?
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Great, thank you. Any questions of Brian? Barry? Now, hearing none, we'll move along. Thank you, Brian, appreciate it.
Thank you.
Looking forward to seeing you in person soon, hopefully. Okay. New business. Is there any new business to come before the group?
I have a question, Madam Chair.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
It's actually not necessarily related to the audit committee, but I figured since I had you, I could ask you. I noticed something on tomorrow's agenda in the first group under the chairman's report that you're going to be doing something about the role of the board and the staff. I was curious if you could give any insight.
Yeah, just some comments, yes.
Comments?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's it? Just comments? No more?
We'll talk about it tomorrow.
Oh, okay. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Anything else to come before the group?
Motion to adjourn.
Okay. Thank you. We're adjourned.